I'm going to be speaking from Exodus chapter 29, but I'd like to look at those two verses of Scripture I just read at the beginning of this service in Psalm 86, where David says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy." Now, how can a man be poor and needy and be holy? Now, that's the question I hope is answered from this passage of Scripture we're going to look at. David says, "I'm poor and I'm needy." And David says, "I am holy." And that's something every believer can say. I'm poor and needy. I am. And I can also say this by the grace of God. I am holy. Now, how can that be? Turn to Exodus chapter 29. Verse 1. "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office." This is what you'll do to them to hallow them. Now that word, look across the page in Exodus chapter 30, verse 29. "And thou shalt sanctify them, and they may be, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy." Now that word holy, in verse 29 of that verse of Scripture I just read, is the exact same word that's translated hallow. We pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name." And God says regarding these priests that He's going to do something to them to make them hallow or holy. Now, Aaron and his sons, the men that served as priests under the Old Testament economy, were sinners, just like you and I are. You know how bad your heart is? That's how bad Aaron's heart is. That's how bad all these men's hearts were. They had the same sinful nature. But this chapter tells us what is done to them to hallow them. Now, when they are hallowed, made holy, now they are fit to serve me in the priest's office. They're now qualified. And you know, the same things that are done, or the same thing that is done to them to make them a priest. And listen to me, every believer is a priest to God. Every single one of them. Scripture says He hath made us kings and priests to God. There's not one man who's a priest and another one who's not. Every believer is a priest before God. And something has been done to them to hallow them, to cause them to be a priest toward God. Now, notice in verse 1, "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office." Now, first, for me to be hallowed or holy, something is going to have to be done unto me. I can't make myself holy. I know that. I cannot make myself holy. Something's going to have to be done to me to make me holy. You see, salvation is what God does for and to the sinner. It's not what the sinner does for himself. Now, understand that. Every aspect of salvation is what God does, not what we do. It's what God does for and to the sinner to make him hallowed, to make him holy. It's not what the sinner does for himself. And I'm mighty grateful for that, because I know that I cannot make myself holy. I'm just sure of that. I cannot make myself holy. Now let's go on reading. He says, "Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish. This is in verse 1. Here's what you're going to do to hallow them so they're fit to be priests. And the same thing that's done for them is done to you and I to make us fit if we're believers. He says, you take one young bullock and two rams without blemish and unleavened bread and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil, of wheaten flour shalt thou make them, and thou shalt put them to one basket and bring them in the basket, and the bullock and the two rams. Now, a bullock and two rams for sacrifice, unleavened bread with oil to make cakes, which represents the work of the Holy Spirit. Oil always typifies the Holy Spirit, and the unleavened bread, we read in the New Testament of the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, he gives three sacrifices that are to be made, all which give some different aspect of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to make us holy. And then the work of the Holy Spirit in order to make us holy. Now let's go on reading. Verse 4. We're going to get to what these sacrifices are in just a minute. Verse 4. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and shall wash them with water. I need to be washed. I need God to wash me. I'm filthy and I need to be washed. For me to be holy, I'm going to have to be washed through and through. Verse 5, and thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate and girding with the curious girdle of the ephod. We considered what those meant last week. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head and put the holy crown upon the mitre. And thou shalt take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. The work of the Holy Spirit. And thou shalt bring his sons and put coats upon them. And thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them. And the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. And thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. Now he's going to talk about the sacrifices. And this is what makes Aaron and his sons holy. Verse 10. And thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock, and thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt take of the blood of the bullock and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger and pour all the blood besides the bottom of the altar. And thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards and the caul that's above the liver and the two kidneys and the fat that's upon them and burn them upon the altar. But the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shalt thou burn without the camp. It is a sin offering. Now, all of these offerings, we're going to look at three of them. First, this sin offering teaches us how every believer can actually be holy. Are you interested in being holy? I want to be holy before God, don't you? I want him to see me in a way where he is pleased with me. Now, how can I, a sinner, be holy before God? Now, look back at verse 10. And thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his son shall put their hands upon the head of that bullock. Now, the laying on of hands teaches substitution. Now, understand first, it's the sacrifice that makes us holy. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something you do in order to be holy. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ actually makes everybody that he died for holy. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says, by the which will, by God's will, we are sanctified, made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's something that doesn't need to be repeated. Now, every believer is actually made holy by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the New Testament teaches. Now, I love this picture of Aaron and his sons getting over before they kill that sacrifice. They put their hands on its head. And that signifies the transference of guilt. That signifies substitution. My sin became his. They put their hands on the head of that sacrifice. And what that symbolically meant is their sins were transferred to that innocent bullock. And the innocence of that bullock was transferred to them. Substitution. a real substitution, a real transference of sin. Now, according to the Scriptures, according to the New Testament, in this transfer of sin that took place, and that's what was going on the cross. This is so mysterious, it's so high, it's so holy, it's so glorious. I hope I can say what needs to be said. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us." You know what that means? The sin that I've committed. The sins that I've committed. The sins that I'm so ashamed of that I would be so ashamed if you knew anything about them. The sins that I don't know about. The sins of omission, the sins of commission. All my sin, and most of my sin, I don't even know about it. All my sin was transferred to Him. And He took upon the guiltiness of it. He took upon the defilement of it. He was made sin. Now, do I understand what all that means? No, I can't possibly understand. But I know this. Just as truly as He was made sin. What a horrible thought to think that the holy, spotless Son of God, who never sinned, was made sin. All my filth was placed upon Him. He was made sin. And just as truly as He was made sin, His righteousness is mine. Now that's what happened in the sin offering. Notice in verse 14, "But the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shalt thou burn with the fire without the camp." It's a sin offering. Look over in Hebrews chapter 13 for a moment. Hold your finger there in Exodus 29 and look in Hebrews chapter 13. That the flesh and whatever else was taken outside the camp and burned outside the camp, not within the camp of Israel. In Hebrews chapter 13, the writer says in verse 12, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood." And that's what He did with His blood. He sanctified the people. "He suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach." He was crucified on Calvary's hill, a garbage dump outside of Jerusalem. Substitution, substitution, substitution. He took my place. And that's how I'm holy. He took my place. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. The sin offering. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes me holy. You see what His blood did? His blood put away my sin. I don't have any sin. If He died for me, my sin has been put away. And now I'm fit to be a priest. Now let's look at the second aspect of the sacrifice. Look at verse 15. "Thou shalt also take one ram. And Aaron and his son shall put their hands upon the head of the ram." They do that again, the same way they did with the bullock. They put their hands upon the ram, signifying the transference of guilt. "And thou shalt slay the ram. And thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle it round about the altar." Once again, death. Death. Now, why does somebody die? There's only one reason for death. Guilty. Sin. That's the only reason for death. The sins of the priests were figuratively transferred to that bullock. That bullock became guilty. Its innocence became the priest. They're fit. But their sin became his. He becomes guilty. You slay once again. Let's go on reading. Verse 16. "And thou shalt slay the ram. And thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle it round about the altar. And thou shalt cut the ram in pieces and wash the inwards of him and his legs and put them into the pieces and unto his head. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Now, this second sacrifice is what's called a burnt offering. It's different from a sin offering in this sense. What is emphasized is different. The sin offering emphasizes the putting away of sin. The burnt offering emphasizes the satisfaction that God finds in that death. Where it says it's a sweet savor, that verse I just read, a sweet savor, that means literally a savor of rest. God smelled that sacrifice and he was satisfied. Satisfied. God is satisfied. He rests. There's nothing else needed. That's what that burnt offering represents. The complete satisfaction God has with the sacrifice. Turn with me for a moment to Isaiah chapter 53. Hold your finger there. Exodus 29, turn to Isaiah 53. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now that doesn't mean he got some kind of sadistic pleasure and morbid pleasure out of inflicting pain on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know it doesn't mean that. It means he got satisfaction out of it. His justice was satisfied. It pleased the Lord. The Lord was pleased. Nothing else was needed. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Now let's go on reading. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Now, what's that mean? Now, this is the best way I can explain this. Turn to Genesis chapter 26. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Verse 10. And Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might have lightly lied with thy wife, and thou should have brought guiltiness upon us. Now, see that word guiltiness? That word guiltiness is the exact same word that's translated an offering for sin. You made his soul guiltiness. Guilty as charged. Now back to Isaiah 53. Let's go on reading. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul guiltiness, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure, the satisfaction of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Lord, satisfied. His justice is satisfied. It doesn't need anything else. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be what? Satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now the emphasis here is the satisfaction of God. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was satisfied. His justice was satisfied. And I gave this illustration a couple of weeks ago, but it's just as true now as it was then, so bear with me. If somebody murdered my daughter, and if they would offer me $10 million, I still wouldn't be satisfied. If they offered me everything in the world, I still wouldn't be satisfied. I couldn't find satisfaction. Justice would not be satisfied. As a matter of fact, if that person died, I'd want them to die if they did that. I mean, I suppose. I mean, I hope I could forgive them. I don't know what. I'm just trying to talk about the issue of satisfaction. Even if they died, I still wouldn't be satisfied. And you see, sin is an infinite evil. That's why hell lasts forever. God can never be satisfied. His justice is never satisfied. That's why hell just lasts forever. But when the Lord Jesus Christ died, God was satisfied. He was satisfied. And now he's satisfied with me. Everybody Christ died for, God is plumb satisfied with them. Well, what about the sin? What about the sin? What sin? It's been put away. God is satisfied. Now that is how I'm holy. God doesn't have anything to be dissatisfied with me about. I'm going to quote that song again. He took my sins and sorrows and made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. And where are those sins he bore? They're gone. They're gone. And he is satisfied. And that's how a believer is made holy. Now let's look at the third aspect of this sacrifice. Back to Exodus 29. The word to... We've seen substitution.
We've seen satisfaction. Now, the third word that would emphasize the third aspect of this sacrifice is sanctification. Now, let's go on reading. Verse 19. This is the third sacrifice. And thou shalt take the other ram. And Aaron and his son shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. And then shalt thou kill the ram and take of his blood and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood round about the altar. Now, this third offering, as I said, has to do with sanctification. Now, think about this. The blood was put on the ear, on the hand, and on the foot. Ear for hearing. Hand for receiving. Foot for my walk. The blood is put on the ear. You have blood-washed ears. And what is it you hear? When you hear the gospel, what is it you hear? You hear of the power, the efficacy, the soul-cleansing power, the saving power of His precious blood. That's what you hear. When you hear the gospel, what do you hear? The blood. The blood maketh atonement for the soul. That's what you hear. That's what you understand. That's what you rejoice in. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. What do you hear the blood say? I love that passage of Scripture in Hebrews 12 where it talks about the blood of Christ that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Well, what did Abel's blood speak? It said, get him. Revenge. Put him to death for what he did. And I can see why Abel's blood said that. But what does the blood of Christ say? Forgive him. Forgive him. His sins put away. Yes, it cries for justice too. Justice has been satisfied. And the blood of Christ says, forgive him. That's what you hear. You hear the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's applied to your ear, but it's also applied to your hand. It won't do you any good to hear something if you don't receive it. We receive this. I love that scripture in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, by whom we joy in God, by whom also we've received the atonement. We've received the reconciliation. I'm receiving this. I'm receiving this. I'm believing it. That's what it is to receive. It's to believe. To as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name. I'm receiving this complete atonement that the Lord Jesus worked out on the cross. Well, what that means is, I really believe that His blood makes me holy. Do you really believe that? I receive it. It's my hand. And you know what it does? It affects my walk. It surely does. If it doesn't affect your walk, you haven't received it, nor have you heard it. Every time somebody hears of the blood, every time somebody receives the blood, it affects their walk. Blood on the big toe. It's a grateful walk. It's a humble walk. It's a fearful walk. We fear sinning against Him and bringing dishonor upon Him by our walk. And it's the walk of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's my walk. Okay, let's go on reading. Verse 21. And thou shalt take of the blood that's upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, that's the Holy Spirit, and sprinkle it upon Aaron and upon his garments, these beautiful garments that we've been studying for the last several weeks. What do? They throw blood all over them. And upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons. And he shall be hallowed in his garments, and his sons' garments with him. Blood sprinkled and the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit, the new birth, hallows us. Verse 22. And thou shalt take of the ram, the fat and the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that's upon them, and the right shoulder, for it's a ram of consecration. You're going to take a part of this ram, this third ram that was sacrificed. And then he talks about that unleavened bread that we talked about at the first in verse 2 of the chapter. And one loaf of bread and one cake of oil bread and one wafer out of the basket of the unleavened bread that's before the Lord. And thou shalt put it all in the hands of Aaron
and the hands of his sons, and thou shalt wave them with a wave offering before the Lord. Now, you think of the picture, a piece of the ram's shoulder, this third ram, the ram of consecration, and then this unleavened bread tempered with oil, which represents the work of the Holy Spirit. He's always described as oil, the oil of the Spirit, and the unleavened bread is his work in a sinner's heart where he makes them sincere. The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And he says, you take that, you put it in that basket, and you wave it before the Lord. A wave offering. Now, when you wave something, what's that mean? When you wave something, that means that's what you want him to see. That's what you want him to see. This is all I want the Lord to see. I want him to see the work of Christ for me, and I want him to see the work of Christ in me. And that's all I want him to see. I don't want him to see anything else. All I want him to look at is his work. His work for me in the sacrifice. His work in me in the work of God the Holy Spirit. That's all I want him to see. I don't want him to see anything else. I don't want there to be anything else. All I wave. When you wave something, that's, you know, if somebody waves something up, they want him to see it. And that's what he's doing. This is all I want him to see. Now let me verify this from the New Testament. Turn to John chapter 3. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, he comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God. That God did this. That's all I want him to see, what he has done. Everything else I want to just be put away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed to bring what he's done before the Lord. That's what every believer does. And that's what this wave offering is. Now, waving it back and forth. Now, let's go on reading. Verse 25. And thou shalt receive them of their hands and burn them upon the altar for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor before the Lord. It's an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And thou shalt take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it for a wave offering before the Lord. It shall be thy part. And thou shalt sanctify the breast of the wave offering and the shoulder of the, look at this next word, the heave offering, which is waved and which is heaved up of the ram of the consecration, even that which is for Aaron and that which is for his sons. Now, what in the world is a heave offering? We talked about the wave. That's all we want him to see. But look over in chapter 25, verse 1. Exodus 25, verse 1. Speak unto the children of Israel. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Now see that word offering? My margin says a heave offering. A heave offering. Now what is a heave offering? Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Now, this is what we offer up willingly. I willingly offer up to the Lord that which he's done. I don't want to offer up anything else. I, with full consent, simply want to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I willingly offer up. I don't want to offer up anything else. This is what I want to offer up, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what a heave offering is. It means you offer it up willingly. If you're given a choice, which way would you rather be saved? By Christ or by what you do? Which way would you choose? That's easy, isn't it? If you're given a choice, would you rather be saved by Christ's righteousness or your own righteousness? Which one would you choose? Oh, that's a no-brainer. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I offer up that willingly. I don't want to come any other way than but this way. It's a heave offering unto the Lord. I am willing to be saved by the substitutionary, satisfactory, sanctifying sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you? That's offering up a heave offering. Now let's go on reading. Verse 29. and the holy garment of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein and to be consecrated in them. And that son that is priest in his stead shall put them on 7 days when he cometh into the tabernacle of the congregation to minister in the holy place. And thou shalt take the ram of the consecration and seethe his flesh in the holy place. And Aaron and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that's in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made, to consecrate and to sanctify them. But a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they are holy. What did they eat? That is the same thing as what our Lord meant when he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. What is it that nourishes my soul? The atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, the only thing that gives me comfort, the only thing that actually gives me confidence, the only thing I have any boldness in, is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's my boldness before God. We're to come boldly by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. And that's the only way we can come. Through, this is what we feed on, the atonement. In verse 34, and if aught of the flesh of the consecrations of the bread remain unto the morning, then thou shalt burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it's holy. And thus thou shalt do unto Aaron and to his sons. This is what makes them holy. This is what makes them hallow. Thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and to his sons, according to all the things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering, for an atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar. And when thou hast made an atonement for it, thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it. And it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Now this altar upon which this sacrifice was made, this altar with the blood of the Lamb, here's something that's very glorious. A lot of things glorious about this, but there's nothing any more glorious than this. A man couldn't defile the altar. The altar could only make him holy. You can't do anything to mess up the blood of Christ. You can't do anything to make it lose its efficacy. All the blood of Christ can do is make you holy. There's such security there. There's such peace there. There's such joy there. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ actually makes me holy. Now I still say, I'm poor and I'm needy. And I am. I'm poor and I'm needy. But through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am holy. I am hallowed. And that doesn't mean in word only. It means I am holy. And this is the cry of every believer. I'm poor and I'm needy. Do you know that King David, the man after God's own heart, what phrase is found in the Psalms more than any other phrase? I'm poor and I'm needy. That's the man after God's own heart. I'm poor and I'm needy. And I can't get away from that, but I can't get away from this either. I am holy. Wonderful place to be, isn't it? Let's pray together.